Today we're off to a buffalo catching camp in the top end of the Northern Territory. It's not a job for the faint-hearted as crews use a helicopter and a specially decked out buggy to catch the feral animals. We also hit the road with Sister Christine, a travelling nun looking after the welfare of families living in southwest Queensland. We meet some young and enthusiastic veggie growers in Victoria's Gippsland and go behind the scenes at the iconic Birdsville races. It takes a volunteer army to keep the race meeting on track.
It simply wouldn't be possible without them. Birdsville is a town of 100, and many of those people in the town have their own businesses that run and indeed rely on the races for their success. So while they're preoccupied, you really do need the support of people from outside the region, and that's where volunteers come in.
And Gary Brooks should know, he's on the organising committee, from washing up to marshalling the cars to organising the social media posts. It's all part and parcel of being a volunteer at Birdsville. That story coming up, but first, some adrenaline-pumping action to get you started today as we join Jed Fawcett's buffalo-catching team in the Territory.
What is it you like about buffalo catching?
Oh, it's all excitement, eh? Better than any other job, I reckon. It's, you know, you've got to be really skillful, but it's a really exciting job. Keeps you on your toes. It's good. It's a good learning job for anyone.
Catching a 400-kilogram feral buffalo with massive horns is not a job for the faint-hearted. A helicopter buzzes overhead, driving the buffalo towards blokes like Rolly Cronin. He's part of a two-man team driving a specially decked-out buggy which races up beside the beast, trapping it with a bionic arm that comes down around its neck. G'day there, I'm Dan Fitzgerald in a remote part of Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory. I'm out here with Jed Fawcett and his buffalo catching team. They'll spend months at a time camping out in the bush during the dry season, catching hundreds of wild buffalo for the export market. You've been in the game for quite a long time. Your father was a buffalo musterer before you. What keeps you in it?
Oh, no, I just love doing it. It's good. Yeah, and gets away from my real job as running trucks, and yeah, it's good. Good for your health, I reckon.
What is it about it that you love especially?
Oh, I think it's just the bush life and the people you work with and, yeah, in general, that sort of stuff.
Is the excitement still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yep, it's good fun.
Have you had any injuries while mustering buffalo?
Nah, not really. Just, you got to be very careful. Don't take them for granted because they will hurt you quick.
You must be pretty lucky then, after so long mustering, to not come away with any gorings.
Yeah, you got to be smart because they will get you if you let them give them a chance.
And quick on your feet.
Yeah. Or just don't give them a chance, I reckon.
When you're out on the bull catcher and racing through some scrub, what's the key thing you need to have in your head when you're trying to catch that buff?
Looking forward a bit so you don't hit a wallow or a tree, or yeah, just thinking ahead.
It seems like you have to have your eye on a number of things at any one time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep, you gotta be watching your country, which way you're going, make sure you're not running towards a creek or rocks, or of course gullies, creeks, trees, logs, everything. Yeah, there's a lot going, a lot happening at once.
Jed Fawcett might have 30 plus years in the business, but Wayne Runyu is a newbie. It's his first season out with the team, and it's been an adrenaline pumping experience for him, hurtling through the scrub in the bull catcher, dodging termite mounds and trees. He's then got to get a rope around the buffalo's horns and tie it up to a tree, ready for the pickup truck to retrieve.
Yeah, it's been, you know, great that working out here in the bush, and you know, no, it's been good so far.
What sort of skills have you been learning?
Oh, you know, just how to tie a buffalo on the tree, and you know, try to look at, you know, all different things, like when you grab buffalo with the arm, especially when you do catching with that helicopter, it's pretty tough when you're chasing them through the scrub and, you know, hitting all them anthill and big trees and bumping into them holes and everything.
How did you feel the first time you got in a buff catcher?
Oh, first time when I got in, I was just a bit nervous, and you know, a bit, like when you first time working as a buffalo in a buffalo business, you got to get that nerve wracking, you know, a bit nervous, like I said, and yeah, it was really nervous, the, you know, because you got to go in close and, you know, have buffalo when they swing their head and things like that, and, you know, really tough skin. And
what's it like to tie one up to a tree?
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's good to tie them in the tree, but when they, you know, when they get real cheeky and when they move their head, you have to put the, you know, try to get the rope through the horn and tie them up to the tree, but they always move their head, and, you know, that's the scariest bit for me. Yeah.
Once the buffalo have been caught, it's up to people like Mitch Young to manoeuvre the animals into the pickup truck. They'll be transported to a set of holding yards later in the day. There's three buffalo just below us, making a little bit of noise, and they've got quite a strong smell coming from them.
Yeah, there's a good odour to it, but if you can put up with that one, you're a long career in this industry.
What's your role in the crew here?
Really, I'm on the offloading truck, but I give the other boys a hand to winch them into the pickup truck and transport them into the main yard.
Do they like going up into the truck?
Not really. Yeah, like to get away most of the time.
Rolly Cronin has been catching buffalo for more than 40 years across the Top End. He worked for Jed Fawcett's father, Tom, in the early days, when they didn't have helicopters to help them flush the wild buffalo out into the open.
We never had no helicopters in those days when I started, no helicopters. Yeah, now it's a lot easier now with helicopters, yeah.
How did helicopters change things?
Well, they could go out further than we could with the vehicles, and to bring them to the trap yards and make it a lot easier for us, all we had to do was wait there at the yards.
What sort of skill does it take to drive a bull catcher with a bionic arm?
It's a lot of bad reflex, and you've got your eye on the beast, and then on the left-hand side of your vehicle too, for the trees and all that, so you don't hit any trees or whatever comes towards you, you know?
And how about camping out for weeks at a time? Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, because you always go into different areas and camping on creeks or billabongs and whatever, but you always got a bit of time for fishing too, which I like.
That's a pretty good day when you can catch a few buffalo and then throw a line in and catch yourself a barra at the end of the day.
That's right, that's good. That's a good thing to happen. At the end of the day, it's good.
Okay, so first of all, we're going to dig a hole for the plant, like this. And then you're going to separate one of the plants, and then you can water it.
Who wants to sit in the classroom learning about maths and science when you can be outdoors getting your hands dirty? That's certainly the case for students at the small Ellen Bank Primary School in Victoria's West Gippsland. Yeah, hold on. Hello, I'm Isabella Pittaway. This new school veggie patch has been set up with the help of teachers, parents and the wider community, and is proving a real hit with these young gardeners.
Hi, I'm Archer and I'm 8 years old. I'm in grade 2. We go into the garden and see if there's any bugs or caterpillars on the lettuce or silver beet, and then we feed it to the chickens. And we're going to grow blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, rhubarb, asparagus, herbs and veggies in the garden. I like going in there in the mornings and seeing if there was a big zucchini ready to pick. And once there was this really spiky zucchini, and it got bigger and bigger, and it got so big that we couldn't carry it, and so we had to ask the teachers to carry it.
How big was it?
Oh, it was about a metre big and quarter of a metre wide.
That's huge. Did you eat it afterwards?
Yeah, we did. We put it in a zucchini slice.
I'm Andrew and I'm turning, well, I've already turned 12.
What have you learnt about gardening?
I learned a fair bit, like what type of soil you would need and other things like the type of, like, moisture in the air and how hot or like cold you'll have to grow it in.
And I bet you get lots of rain down here. That would help the garden, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we get a lot of rain. It doesn't help when we play football.
The students might think they're getting out of class time when they're working in the veggie patch, but that's really not the case. Acting Principal Lynn Hand says all aspects of the curriculum are incorporated into the gardening sessions.
And we can be out there learning about plants and you know, growing and harvesting and sharing and cooking our own meals from the produce that we make, but also in that they're doing a lot of maths with measuring, because when they're planting they've got to measure the distances. Cooking, obviously, lots of measuring. We've done farmers markets where we've had to make produce, so we've made relishes and pickles and cakes and then sold them at the market, so they've had the experience with money, working out change, pricing things, looking up, working, researching what things should cost, as well as just developing, I guess just by giving them the experiences, it's developing their knowledge of healthy eating.
How do they go looking after the garden?
They're pretty good, actually. In term one, when we had lots of produce ready for to be harvested, the senior kids would go out within small groups with a teacher aide, and they would do lots of weeding and harvesting and taking care of it. But then for the last couple of terms, there hasn't been as much ready to harvest, so a lot of kids just at their lunches or recesses will just potter around in the garden and pick out a few weeds. They'll do a lot of sweeping up around the place and just keeping everything tidy. They're just really, really passionate about it. You'll see them nibbling at some of the herbs, the mint and the parsley.
Hello, I'm Jim and I'm six. We get to make stuff and we don't have to do much schoolwork.
And what's your favourite thing that's grown in the garden?
Probably cucumbers.
Why cucumbers?
Because I like cucumbers because they're crunchy and they're really yum.
6-year-old Jim and his crunchy cucumbers, finishing that story from Isabella Pittaway at the Allenbank Primary School in Victoria's Gippsland. Keep listening. Still to come on A Big Country, we go behind the scenes at the Birdsville races and introduce you to Sister Christine Henry. She's clocked up more than 1 million kilometres helping families in need.
Okay, we're off, Kenya. We're going for a road trip. Yeah, we're going to see the families in the country. Yay, good girl.
Meet Sister Christine Henry. This Brisbane-based Sisters of Charity nun and registered nurse has spent the past 10 years travelling almost 1 million kilometres helping families in the bush. Her patch covers a vast area of southwest Queensland, and in that time she's helped countless families through the ravages of drought, floods and financial struggles. She's seen by many farming families as a living saint. Hello, I'm Robin McConkie. I've caught up with Sister Christine as she prepares her reconditioned ambulance for another trip out west. Sister Christine, you've travelled 1 million kilometres in the last 10 years. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Now, I've been as far west as Thargaminda and Quilpie on a number of occasions, and I do the Burnett area, the Granite Belt, and the Western Downs. So I see the beauty of our country, but it's cruel at times, and I've seen it when it's been devastated by the floods, and I've seen little country towns like ghost towns.
Now, Sister Christine isn't alone on her travels. Her companion is a little golden-haired poodle called Lady Kenya.
Kenya was born in 2010. She goes everywhere with me. She is the icebreaker when I meet new families. They actually see Lady Kenya before they see me. You know, she just is able to help a farmer, whether that's a male farmer or a female farmer, to open up.
Open up about what, Sister Christine?
I think they're struggling a lot with drought, wondering where the payment of their next feed for their livestock is going to come from. If they hear that there's going to be a storm or cyclones heading their way, what are they going to lose, really? And so there's tension within themselves as to how their farm is going to make money for them.
And do you think that little Kenya's able to help break the ice, really break the ice there, so that you can sort of sit down and talk or they can think?
Well, I'm a very proud person, and a lot of people are. And so they don't like others knowing that they are going through difficult times, that they are stressed, that they may be financially challenged. And because they don't go and see a doctor regularly at all, sometimes they're suffering health issues, but they don't tell anyone they are. So she actually, if we sit down on a log, a farmer will actually just pick her up, hug her, she will kiss them, and it just seems to open the doors of a space within them that they have not opened up to other people.
Sister Christine's ministry is known as the Downs and West Community Support Group. It came into being during one of the worst prolonged droughts to ever hit the region.
I think, well, it's basically to give a word of encouragement, provide a listening ear where they can actually verbalise what is going on inside them.
You're living and breathing and sleeping and eating and working with these people, and so is little Kenya.
Yep. And that can be hard sometimes, because if they don't shower because they haven't got water, I don't shower. And we've been through that. When the drought was really bad, when I was staying out with families, I showered when they showered. You know, I ate when they ate. I ate what they ate. I didn't take my hair dryer, but I did take my shampoo and conditioner when the drought was really bad, only to be totally embarrassed because I realised that they did not have shampoo. They didn't have conditioner. They used sunlight soap. And to make things worse, I pulled out my moisturiser for my face.
And that's where the idea for the voluntary hampers comes in. Sister Christine has a dedicated group of volunteers who donate goods for her to take out west.
We wouldn't be a ministry if it wasn't for the people in Brisbane, the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast.
What do they give you?
A hamper includes things that they would need on a daily basis. Toilet paper, laundry detergents, bread, butter, sugar, flour, cake mixes.
Really the basics?
Really the basics. Just to help them along.
What have you got out of this?
Love, I've got so much more out of working with these people who are struggling than I have in my entire life. And I think they have just let me into their lives, shared with me the most important aspect of their suffering. And I feel it has been a great privilege to walk their journey with them.
10 years on and still going strong.
10 years on and still going strong, and still have the love and the desire to help people in need, wherever the need may be.
The Birdsville races in outback Queensland are an iconic event on the outback calendar. Up to 7,000 people travel thousands of kilometres to converge on the tiny town on the edge of the Simpson Desert for the annual race meeting. While visitors enjoy eating camel pies and putting a bed on the horses, a team of volunteers have been mobilised to ensure everything runs smoothly. In fact, without the volunteer army, organisers believe the races couldn't happen. Gary Brook is the vice president of the Birdsville Race Club.
It simply wouldn't be possible without them. Birdsville is a town of 100, and many of those people in the town have their own businesses that run and indeed rely on the races for their success. So while they're preoccupied, you really do need the support of people from outside the region, and that's where volunteers come in.
Hello, I'm Melanie Groves. It's hot and dusty here at Birdsville, but nobody seems to be complaining. Least of all the volunteers who'll clock up to 1,000 hours of service during their stay. Here's Gary Brook again.
Well, I think volunteering is almost a part of the Australian culture. Everybody wants to help out and help something be a success, help out their mates, and that's sort of what happens here. But it's also an opportunity to get behind the scenes. You can experience things volunteering in not only the Birdsville races but in any event or activity that you wouldn't otherwise get to do. You get to meet people that you wouldn't otherwise get to meet, make new friends and so forth. So I think there's lots to get out of it, apart from, you know, a souvenir, a shirt and a stubby collar and a hat as well.
The job of coordinating the volunteer army falls to Lucas Trahi. He's been coming to Birdsville for the past 4 years.
Well, it's a real mixture. So a lot of people have been volunteering here for years and years and years. So when we came on board, we just entered them into our system. and they've come from basically every state. So this has become a bit of a regular thing for a lot of people. Then the other big influx is just new people who've always wanted to come to Birdsville, and they've heard about the races, and they love the sound of it, but they've never really got their act together to come. And with the opportunity to come and volunteer, a lot of them just sort of think, wow, that'd be great. I'll come and volunteer and I'll see a different side of the event, and then I'll get some time off and I'll be able to watch the races. So we structure it so that as long as they contribute a bit of time, they get a free entry, so they get to come along and watch the races when they're not on a shift.
And what kind of jobs and responsibilities do the volunteers have here?
Well, what we do is when we're recruiting vols, we have a list of tasks that we need for. So we're quite specific. We say we'd like some people with a minibus licence. We'd like some people who've got some carpentry skills and maybe qualifications. We'd like some people who've got some experience doing social media. We'd like some people to help in the kitchen. The other jobs are filled up with things like marshalling at road and marshal points, help the cars and the buses get in and out without running over pedestrians. Road marshalling, there's people helping in merchandise. Pretty much every aspect of the event, there's somebody doing something. So right at the moment, we've got guys washing dishes, road marshals, merchandise, people working on social media, and everything to do with the event's got a volunteer in there.
So let's go and meet some of the volunteers who keep Birdsville races on track. Robin Brennan has travelled from Lemon Tree Passage near Newcastle for her first Outback experience.
The Birdsville races were just on the bucket list, so the opportunity arose, so I was able to come, and I thought, well, it'd be a great way to meet more people would be to volunteer, so that's why I volunteered.
And what are you doing here in Birdsville? What volunteering positions are you doing?
I've been doing some merchandising sales, and for the week, the 2 days of the Cup, I've been assisting in the media unit.
Have you had a good time since coming to Birdsville?
Yes, it's been a very warm and welcoming town. It's interesting to see the outback and the harsh conditions the people that live here endure, and the dust and the heat, and it's still just spring. So my hat goes off to these people that work very hard in these very trying conditions.
Out the back of the cafe, big tubs of water are set up. There's a mountain of washing up to do. Shane and Andrew have their hands in the soap suds.
Ah, Shane Volk from Bundy. Yeah, I'm not really sure how I got here.
And what have you been doing since coming out to Birdsville?
Relaxing back at the river, having a few quiet ones, and then helping out in the volunteering. Yeah.
And I've seen you a couple of times helping out behind the cafe here. What's been your favourite job since coming out here?
Oh, definitely washing up. There's a couple of thousand dishes, but it's all good. They look after you quite well. Feed you and drink you, so I guarantee it to anyone to come out. Yeah.
Andrew DeSanko from Bundy. All right, it's on my bucket list. After my wife died away, I'm 62 year old. If I don't do it now, I probably won't do it. Yeah.
And what have you gotten out of coming out to Birdsville?
I met some nice people. Everyone's been great. I have no drama coming back again. Yeah.
Yvonne Shoemaker and her husband hooked up the caravan and headed west from Brisbane for their first visit to Birdsville.
Oh, I've loved it. It really has been a wonderful experience. We've enjoyed every minute of it. We've got to meet some wonderful people, and you get to see that behind the scenes as well. So you're not just a patron, but you get to meet so many interesting people. So I've really, really enjoyed it. And my husband Rob has as well. So yeah.
What's some of the slightly less expected things have you encountered in Birdsville for coming out as a volunteer?
Less expected. We didn't really have any expectations, I suppose, because I had no idea what to expect. We've done a bit of outback travel, so I know there's dirt and dust. But, yeah, that was a little bit, the caravan was filled with dust, so that was a bit of a shock, but you get used to that. And you do get used to the dirt and dust. When you first arrive, you think, I'll never get used to this, but you do. And it becomes home. So, no, we've loved it. Yeah, it's been really good.
Yvonne Shoemaker, one of the volunteers helping keep the Birdsville races on track. She was speaking with Melanie Groves. And you can see some of the volunteers in action if you go online and check out the Country Breakfast website. Head to abc.net.au/Radio National. Going against the tide is never easy, but it's what a couple of young farmers are doing, planting fruit trees in a region where most are pulling them out.
A lot of the old guys who've been here with multi-generations of orcharding behind them don't understand why we would get in. I guess it's interesting to see that we're going at it hell for leather to get things in the ground while they're pulling things out of the ground.
Breathing life into an old industry. We'll take you to a new apple orchard in Victoria's northeast. That's coming up on Country Breakfast with me, Kath McAloon.